stories a source and says that sequencing sanctions lifting is not acceptable to Iran as Tehran and the remaining JCPOA signatories hold talks in Vienna. The civil rights advocacy group says the system that allowed African American George Floyd's murder remains fully intact despite the conviction of a white ex-officer. The U.S. says it seeks to reposition some of its troops in countries neighboring Afghanistan after it withdraws from the Asian country. Welcome to the program. A source says that sequencing the lifting of sanctions is unacceptable to Iran. The source reiterated Iran's position that all sanctions must be removed at once. It added that a week's time is insufficient to verify whether the sanctions have been removed, and at least 3 months are needed to end that. The same source also stressed that the sanctions removal is the only possible way to salvage the 2015 nuclear deal, and that ceasing, lifting, suspending, or issuing waivers for them will not be acceptable to Tehran. The comments come as negotiations to revive the accord have been adjourned in Vienna, with plans to restart that as next week.
Signatories of the Iran nuclear deal end their fifth session in 2 weeks amid efforts to revive the agreement known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA. Two working groups have been formed, one to draft a list of measures that need to be taken by Iran, and another to outline the sanctions that have to be removed by the US. Now a third expert group will be working on the matter of sequence. Iran's lead delegate, Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi, said that would be the focus of talks when they resume next week.
Next week, the most important question is to talk about the sequence, because we have already talked about measures, and we have now focused more on the question of sequence to make sure that the U.S., who has left the JCPOA, should come back first, should lift all its sanctions first, and then Iran would follow after the verification.
Although no direct talks have taken place between Iran and the U.S., the American delegation has been engaged in discussions with the other parties, including Britain, France, Germany, Russia, and China.
The top priority remains to focus on sanction lifting. In this particular context, the U.S. must lift all its sanctions, may it concern Iran or any third party, in thorough, complete, and straightforward manner.
Before leaving Vienna for Tehran, Araghchi said Iran does not want to prolong the negotiations, but also needs to take the time to work on every single word that's being drafted to come up with a specific formula allowing both Iran and the U.S. to come back to full compliance. Iran says the talks are on the right track and moving forward, but as the EU coordinator put it, there's still a lot of work to be done. Homa Lizki, Vienna.
Political commentator Polina Aniftu says Iran's demands for removal of all sanctions at once are legitimate.
Well, actually, when we say that Iran says that the sanctions need to be lifted, it's not because it tries to push the United States, and it's a kind of argument who's going to come back to the agreement and to the talks first. But we have seen that Iran, since 2015, that the agreement was signed with the United States, it has actually validated and ratified all the protocols. It has agreed to all inspections they've been done by the International Associations, and suddenly in 2018, United States, they just left. I mean, every agreement has its terms and conditions and the provisions, so if the United States, they were not in position to keep in the agreement and fulfill the whole protocols, yeah, Iran, after the United States, I mean, is leaving by itself and without any kind of notice, as it is written in the agreement, Iran can take its own positions and its own measure about its nuclear program.
White former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin has been found guilty in the death of African-American George Floyd. Chauvin is convicted of all three charges against him. Jurors found him guilty of second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. Judge Peter Cahill also revoked the bail on Chauvin, who's set to be sentenced 8 weeks from now. Former officer could face up to 40 years in jail and a maximum fine of $20,000. The African-American man died in May of 2020 after Chauvin placed his knee on Floyd's neck while he pleaded, "I cannot breathe." Death sparked weeks of angry protests across the U.S. Now, reactions are pouring in following the conviction of the former U.S. police officer responsible for the death of George Floyd.
Nothing can ever bring their brother, their father back. But this can be a giant step forward in the march toward justice in America. Let's also be clear that such a verdict is also much too rare.
America, let's pause for a moment to proclaim this historical moment, not just for the legacy of George Floyd, but for the legacy of America.
Rest, Dante Wright.
Also, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz described the verdict as an important step forward for justice in the state. American Civil Liberties Union also welcomed the first ever conviction of a white officer for killing a black man. The union called the verdict a small win for police accountability that may help heal a grieving community. It, however, stressed that the system that allowed Floyd to be murdered remained fully intact. Meanwhile, Floyd's supporters and activists took to the streets to celebrate justice for the 46-year-old victim.
But I'm overjoyed. I'm very happy because this morning I didn't have no hope that this man was even going to go to jail. And I find out he's gone. He got all three counts.
I feel like the fact that we were able to secure justice for George Floyd means that we can secure justice for every black person who was killed by police.
Moreover, in a joint statement, the National Basketball Association, the NBA, and the National Basketball Players Association hailed the verdict. They also pledged to redouble efforts to advocate for meaningful change in the areas of criminal justice and policing. Political commentator Wilmer Leon says if the Floyd incident was not captured on video, the court would not have convicted Derek Chauvin of the murder.
I understand their perspective. I understand their joy, and they are right. And you know, this is a very powerful, very positive moment. The verdict, all three counts of guilty, phenomenal. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. The system is still the system, and had it not been for the video. In fact, I just published a piece today, George Floyd minus video equals Trayvon Martin. And so without this video, it would have been Chauvin's word against the dead body of George Floyd and a crowd standing by. Chauvin wins once again. This was God bless video. That's what I can tell you. I mean, this is not the first time this has happened. And what is very important to understand here is as we do the analysis of Chauvin and Mr. Floyd, we also have to do systemic analysis. And when you start to do the systemic analysis, the system itself is still the same.
The U.S. ambassador to Moscow says he will travel to the U.S. this week for consultations days after the Kremlin suggested that Washington recall him. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said John Sullivan will go back to Russia after visiting his family and members of the new administration. She added that she was not aware of a meeting scheduled between Sullivan and President Biden. Separately, a State Department spokesman said Sullivan's return to Washington is coming at, quote, an opportune time as the administration formulates a new approach to Moscow. Sullivan's decision comes amid a diplomatic crisis between the two countries. Russia recalled its own ambassador to Washington last month, and the two powerhouses imposed tit-for-tat sanctions on one another.
Tensions between the United States and Russia appear to be ratcheting up in recent weeks over a range of issues, including Ukraine. The Russian Defense Ministry on Tuesday accused the U.S. and NATO of engaging in what it described as provocative activities in the waters and airspace of the Black Sea. Moscow also accused Kiev of trying to destabilize the situation in the eastern Donbass region. Amid escalating tensions, Washington and its NATO allies have rallied behind Kiev. They voice concern over Russia's troop deployment along its borders with Ukraine, claiming Russia might be planning to invade the country. But Moscow said the military buildup was in response to cold, threatening military action by NATO and nothing more. Washington-Moscow tensions heightened after the U.S. administration announced a new array of anti-Russia sanctions last Thursday. The White House claimed the sanctions were in retaliation for a range of Russia's actions, including its alleged meddling in the U.S. election, cyber espionage, and action in Ukraine. The Kremlin responded with tit-for-tat measures. But the hostile attitude of the U.S. and its allies is not limited to Russia. They have also collectively formed and launched a pressure campaign against China. Just last month, the U.S., along with the European Union, Britain, and Canada, imposed coordinated actions on Beijing under the pretext of human rights violations. The United States and China have also been embroiled in disputes over a host of issues ranging from trade, Hong Kong, and Taiwan. Beijing has time and again accused Washington of seeking to destabilize mainland China by interfering in the affairs of Hong Kong and Chinese Taipei, as well as fomenting tensions in the South China Sea. The country last week escalated its military activities after the U.S. announced it would deploy its warships to the region. The Chinese president on Tuesday also criticized the hegemonic power structures in the global governance, calling for the rejection of such moves.
The future of the world should be mastered by all countries in the world. Rules made by a single country or just a few countries cannot be forcibly applied on others. The world order cannot be led by unilateralism from some country.
The growing tension between Washington on the one side and Moscow and Beijing on the other is bringing the two countries even closer. U.S. President Joe Biden will probably face a nightmare scenario given deepening ties and strategic cooperation between China and Russia, the countries Washington thinks is a threat to its global interests.
Now, the United States says it is planning talks to reposition some of its troops in countries neighboring Afghanistan after it withdraws from the Asian country. The U.S. Central Command chief said Washington wants to keep its forces within the region so as to keep pressure and surveillance on, quote, violent extremists. Kenneth McKenzie added that the Pentagon is weighing options to continue surveilling and potentially attacking those groups from neighboring countries. McKenzie, however, didn't name any specific nation for the repositioning of American troops. The U.S. currently has almost 2,500 military personnel stationed in Afghanistan. Turkey says a peace conference on Afghanistan has been postponed until mid-May after the Taliban said they would not take part in the summit. Turkey was supposed to host a 10-day U.S.-backed talk scheduled to start from April the 24th. The Taliban militant group has said that it would not take part in any such summit until all foreign troops have withdrawn from Afghanistan. Despite the deferment of the Turkey conference, the U.S. says diplomatic efforts in Afghanistan will continue. Last week, Washington announced it will withdraw all its troops from the Central Asian country by September the 11th, ending the longest military engagement in U.S. history. NATO has also said it will follow suit. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has vowed to free all Palestinian prisoners from Israeli jails. The promise came after Palestinians marked their Prisoners' Day on April the 17th. Palestinian prisoners have been languishing in Israeli jails for years now. Many are held without any legal reasons under Israel's administrative detention policy. Others are detained simply for challenging Israel's occupation.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says it will force Israel to free Palestinian prisoners. Senior Hamas official Khaled Mash'al said the issue of Palestinian prisoners is a top priority for all Palestinians. Mash'al said Hamas is keen on conveying the prisoners' message to the international community. He underlined the fact that Israel will not release Palestinian prisoners except through resistance by Palestinians and that negotiations are not the way forward. The comments came as Palestinians just marked a Prisoner's Day. On April 17th of each year, Palestinians expressed their loyalty to those imprisoned by the regime and as a reminder of their legitimate struggle for freedom. An estimated 4,500 Palestinians are languishing in Israeli jails, many for simply challenging Israel's occupation. They include 41 women and 140 children below 18 years. Since the beginning of 2021, Israeli authorities have arrested nearly 1,400 Palestinians. Some estimates have put the number of Palestinians to have been jailed at over 1 million.
Well, on the 22nd November 1974, the United Nations General Assembly recognized the right of Palestinian people to self-determination, national independence, and sovereignty of Palestine. And these jailings of the people of Palestine are in complete contradiction to the UN General Assembly resolution. The Palestinians have a right to resist, they have a right for their homeland, and what we've seen is this systematic jailing of Palestinians. Now, whether the resistance is through the PLO, the PFLP, Hamas, the authority, or individual Palestinians is irrelevant. The relevance is that this is a criminalization, not just of a community, but of a whole nation. The figure of 1 million is shocking when we bear in mind that the population of Palestine currently is estimated at 5 million. That means that 20% of the entire population of a nation has been jailed at one particular time. And this figure in itself is shocking. It's a shocking figure, and it's something that should be rejected, and Palestinian people need to be supported in their legal battle and in their right to a homeland.
A diverse range of programs. Youth. Spirituality. Culture. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
The Limelight.
Outrage over the police killing of 13-year-old Adam Toledo in Chicago was compounded overnight and into Friday, April 16th, after the president of the city's police union claimed the shooting was 100% justified and that the officer's actions were heroic. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Julia Conde Ryder. This article is published under the heading, Entire U.S. System is to Blame. Outrage builds after police union leader says officer killing of unarmed teen was heroic. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. Outrage over the police killing of 13-year-old Adam Toledo in Chicago was compounded overnight and into Friday, April 16th, after the president of the city's police union claimed the shooting was 100% justified and that the officer's actions were heroic. Representative Ilhan Omar was among the critics who responded to Chicago Police Union head John Catanzara remarks by calling for systematic changes to policing to end the killing of civilians. The problem is systematic, and it requires systematic solutions, tweeted the congresswoman. On CNN's Kumo Prime Time, Thursday night, April 15th, Catanzara told host Chris Kumo that the officer deserved praise for shooting the seventh grader only one time. Body camera footage released recently showed Toledo with both arms raised when he was fatally shot with a single bullet by Officer E. Stillman. He could have been shot multiple times, but the officer assessed in a split second, said Catanzara, who earlier this year defended the mob that violently stormed the Capitol building, saying the group caused very little destruction of property. Unfortunately, he already committed to the first shot, justifiably so, he added. In the footage from March 29th killing, Toledo is seen being chased down an alley by Stillman. Despite Catanzara's claim that Toledo was armed, no gun is visible in his hand after the officer orders him to stop and he puts his hands up. Scott Roberts, senior director of criminal justice campaigns at Color of Change, said in a statement recently that the killing of Toledo offers only the latest evidence that Chicago city leadership has failed to meet the moment because of their lack of transparency and knee-jerk reaction to defend the Chicago Police Department. This is reminiscent of handling of 2014 shooting of Lacon McDonald, Roberts said. The issue with racist police violence, however, is bigger than one officer. The entire U.S. system is to blame, and while police departments continue to adopt piecemeal reforms that have failed to address police violence or create any responsibility, we need real, systematic change if we ever expect it to end. Additional training, body-worn cameras, and civilian oversight are not enough to protect black and brown lives. We need to divest from police, invest in our communities, and fundamentally reimagine public safety in America, unquote. Journalist Mehdi Hassan condemned Catanzara's justification of the killing, calling the comments cold-blooded. Catanzara's blind defense of the officer's actions just shows how incredibly broken U.S. system of policing is, tweeted journalist Justin Canoe. Ending this isn't just about consequences for who pulls the trigger, tweeted Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's about admitting to and confronting an entire system that exists to protect, defend, and cover up state violence. Omar noted on Twitter that previous responses to the killings of Black and Latino Americans by police officers, such as the funding of body cameras and increased training, have clearly not led to a decrease in violence against civilians. All that funding and reform hasn't stopped the police from killing people or made U.S. communities safer, tweeted Omar.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and condolences to you all. Since today is the 7th of Ramadan, and is the day when Abu Talib, the primordial Muslim and defender of Islam and defender of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, left the world. Here is a statement worth pondering upon from his bereaved nephew, the Almighty's last messenger. The Quraysh could not raise a hand against me until my uncle Abu Talib died.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the qualities of the pious people based on the sermon of the pious in Nahjul Balagha, also known as the Sermon of Hammam. And in the previous session, we discussed about a very important quality of the pious, and which is the fact that they are stable, they are balanced and dignified during calamities. And this is a very important quality. That means physically they don't lose their physical dignity in those difficult states. We have seen in life people who face difficulties, they lose their dignity and they end up doing things, they end up becoming fidgety and lose their minds. This is not what is expected from one who is pious, because a pious person is one who has complete peace in his heart, and he has complete trust that whatever is happening with the power and the will of God, and that because it is happening with the will of God, if he reacts to that situation in a nice way, then it will be a source of him to become greater and better in life. This was what we discussed in the previous session. Alhamdulillah, we are in the holy month of Ramadan, and the opportunity that God has kept in front of us through fasting and other wonderful means of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we should be able to take advantage of these words and practice them in our lives.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, one of the other statements that Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions in this particular sermon is وَفِي الْمَكَارِهِ صَبُورٌ, that a pious person is one who is patient in difficult situations, difficulties basically. مَكَارِه comes from the word كَرَاهَ, something that causes dislike, discomfort, a state of extreme unhappiness within. And this can be due to many reasons. It can be due to illnesses. It can be due to social circumstances. Something that causes discomfort and unhappiness and, a state of physical pain and difficulty, even spiritual. So in such situations, a pious person is sabur. He is extremely patient. He has that patience within him. And this is a very important quality. Having patience is something that is very much praised in the Holy Quran. And of course, this is not our topic to discuss and go into the depths of that. But what is important here is that Imam Ali alayhi salam points out the fact that these states that come across a person's life, a pious person's life, of difficulty. In these states, how a pious person reacts. In the difficult states, you notice Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Sabur, he is patient. That means he bears with the difficulty. And he gives that opportunity in himself to build up and strengthen the quality of Sabr. Sabr is that state of, according to some scholars, that powerful motivation to be able to continue to do good and to continue to stay away from evil. Many times because of that difficult situation, a person might want to commit an evil deed and an evil crime, but he stops himself in this situation. He has that motivation to control himself. Or in that difficult situation, he might decide not to do some good deeds. And we've seen some people who are like that. When they are in difficulties, they forget God, they forget to pray, they forget everything. But here you notice that this person in the difficult situation works harder to find a solution. On the other hand, he says, وَفِرْ رَخَاءِ شَكُورٌ. But at the same time, a pious person is one who when he comes across good times, right? When he comes across times of comfort, he is shakur, he is thankful. And of course, when a person is thankful, Allah increases.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, here, notice, in the one side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He changes these different situations in a person's life, He wants to introduce Himself to His creation. Okay? And that is why in Dua Arafah, Imam Hussain alayhi salam says that, O Allah, I know that by the changings of circumstances that You have brought in this life of mine, You want to introduce yourself to me in every situation. أنت تعرف لي. You want to introduce yourself to me in all situations. That means, now when a pious person in this particular state of difficulty has patience and brings about sabr, that means takes the right course of action in that situation, there he comes across God's beauty. You see? وَفِي الرَّخَاءِ شَكُورٍ. And when the good things happen to him, he does not become oblivious, but he has an eye or a heart that pierces that blessing to be able to witness the beauty and glory of God within. So in difficulties, through the good actions, he's able to, through patience, witness the beauty of God, because he knows that in this difficulty there is something beautiful hidden inside. But at the same time, he knows on the other hand that if there is any good thing that comes to me, it can be a test for me. But if at that time I remember the connection that good and beautiful blessing has with God, that is the state of thankfulness, and therefore in that situation even I have become successful and I have witnessed the beauty of God. So this is the state of a pious person. And let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this holy month of Ramadan. In our difficult situations and in our good situations, we are able to react in the right way so that we can get in touch with our Creator. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال هناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
The Light.
NASA's small helicopter has made history as it successfully completed its flight on Mars. Receiving instructions from Earth, Ingenuity managed to rise to about 3 meters, hovered for 30 seconds, and then landed on the red planet. The mission marked the first powered, controlled flight on another planet. The helicopter weighs only 1.8 kilograms, has four legs, and is powered by solar panels. Flying a helicopter on Mars is hard because there is not much air to push against to generate the necessary lift. A creative artist in Belgium has come up with an alternative to the face masks, a portable oasis. Alain Vercheron says the mini greenhouse allows him to connect with people while observing social distancing during the coronavirus pandemic. However, the idea is not new. It came to his mind 15 years ago, inspired by the lush oasis he encountered while working in Tunisia.
An oasis is a place of calm, tranquility, cool and well-being in the desert. Here, the fact of having an oasis containing medicinal plants means I am also protecting myself from harm coming from the outside, just like I could at an oasis in the middle of the desert.
Doesn't that look bizarre? Well, he says he has asthma, and breathing with the device is easier than a face mask. The 61-year-old artist hopes his invention also raises awareness of environment protection. Pumas are solitary animals that do not usually get along well with humans. However, a Russian family has been living with an extraordinarily friendly mountain lion for 5 years. Now, Alexandra and Maria Dmitriev bought little Messi from a zoo 5 years ago. The cat could barely walk then. With the tender care of the couple, he soon regained his strength. Messi's growth was stunted due to his malnutrition. Interestingly, the adorable puma has never shown any aggression toward humans. Well, looks very friendly. Messi's family has converted their home to meet his natural needs. They have also set up social media accounts for him on Instagram and YouTube, where he has millions of followers.
Malaysian farmers tap classical music and massages to grow one of the world's most expensive fruits, Japanese muskmelons. The farmers believe the method is the best way to grow Japanese muskmelons in Malaysia's hot tropical weather. They regularly rub the melons with a soft cloth or glove. That's a practice, the farmers say, enhance the melon's flavor. To stimulate their growth, classical music is played in greenhouses, and now all these efforts have paid off following constant trials. The farmers are finally selling their prized luxury fruits of labor on the market.
April is usually marked by multi-day festivities across much of Southeast Asia, including Myanmar, as they observe the Buddhist New Year. The traditional New Year in Myanmar this year began on Tuesday with five-day celebrations known as Tengyan. The occasion is usually celebrated with prayers, ritual cleaning of Buddha images in temples, and public water splashing on the streets. They think water can wash their souls and all evil deeds. People also flock to temples with traditional pots containing flowers and receive blessings from monks. But typically, joyous period of celebration is looking very different this year amid coronavirus and political crises in Myanmar.
A dozen lucky penguins have been returned to the wild after rehabilitating from malnutrition and anemia. The Magellanic penguins waddled back happily into the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Argentina. They were distressed, malnourished, and dehydrated when they were found by conservationists. Some of them had lost their plumage due to malnutrition, but they recovered their feathers after receiving special nutrients. There are an estimated 2 to 3 million Magellanic penguins in the world. The cute birds are named after a Portuguese explorer, Ferdinand Magellan. They are mostly found around Argentina and Chile.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
People in Britain are marking the easing of lockdowns implemented to curb the coronavirus pandemic. Words like freedom, hope, family, reunion, and relief have been projected on the walls of the UK's most iconic landmarks, as well as shops and department stores, to show people's feelings. A British company commissioned a survey to find the words that best summed up people's feeling after months of lockdown began to be lifted on Monday. Those celebrating the event say reunion is the word that can best express their feelings.
The most powerful word in there for me is reunion. We've all been apart from each other, friends, loved ones, colleagues, who are also loved ones, I suppose, in some cases, and really looking forward to getting back to my friends and family that I haven't seen for a long time, and imagine a lot of the British public are too.
The event comes as the UK has been the worst hit nation with a pandemic across Europe. The country saw a staggering number of infections and deaths for months. This prompted authorities to impose restrictions in an effort to bring the pandemic under control. Japanese Olympics organizers have unveiled the Games' iconic rings on top of Mount Takara, a popular tourist spot in the west of the Japanese capital, Tokyo. The unveiling of the rings comes as athletes around the world are ramping up training some 100 days ahead of the international event. The sad side of the story, however, is that the spectators are barred this time to accompany the organizers to mark and celebrate it. This is because uncertainties still exist over how and even whether or not the Games will take place. A surge of the coronavirus infections, including in Japan, is playing havoc with preparations ahead of the Olympics. Many hope mass vaccinations would help hold the event. Suppose you have run out of milk and you're not in the mood to shop for shopping. This is for you. Robots are lending a hand with grocery shopping in Singapore. A technology company has deployed two robots to a neighborhood for a trial period. Both named Camilo, the machines deliver items from nearby supermarkets and online shops to around 700 households. Designers say people tend to use robots in the pandemic era.
Especially during this pandemic period, everybody is looking at, you know, contactless, humanless, because in the robot itself, it has its own disinfection UVC light that we could do disinfection after every trip is being made by itself.
The robots are equipped with sensors and cameras, and they can carry up to 20 kilograms in their compartment. Users can track the robot on its way using a mobile application. The smart machines make 4 or 5 deliveries per day.
A section of highway winding through mountains and over the waters in central China provides people with picturesque views as it connects multiple tourist attractions in the region. Guzhuao Highway is located in Yichuan City in Hubei Province. The highway has a total length of more than 10 kilometers. Almost 4.5 kilometers of the highway stretches over valleys and streams. The highway also offers convenience for self-driving tourists. In order to avoid deforestation and protect the ecological environment, building bridges was adopted to replace the traditional approach of digging tunnels and constructing roads in mountains.
Now, a group of researchers have discovered a new mammal from the dinosaur era during their excavations in Chile. The creature, called the Orotherium zen, meaning beast of five teeth, inhabited southern Chile's Miocenes region during the Mesozoic era of the dinosaurs. This is a very important discovery as it fills a gap in information on the evolution of a mysterious group of mammals that became extinct and have no descendants today.
The interesting thing with this finding, and this is based on a fairly well-preserved portion of the jaw with five teeth, is that this animal probably was an omnivore. So it fed on plants, probably insects and other types of food, a varied diet. It coexisted in the same place with other forms of life, including mainly dinosaurs. On rocks with a data that indicates that it was between 72 million, 74 million years old. And this is located in the far south of Chile, in the Magallanes region, in the town of Valle del Rio de las Chinas.
The find
may help scientists answer many questions they had for a long time about dinosaurs, mammals, and other groups. This discovery is more significant than other findings because a well-preserved jaw belonging to the dinosaur was found during the excavations.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.
The month of God. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam and welcome to the program. We are with you with another episode of the special series for Ramadan. Intention is the free motive of human being for performing every worship. It is narrated that the value of any act of worship depends on the intention of the doer. Muslims have been highly recommended to purify their intention and are strictly forbidden from doing an action for show off or gaining worldly profits. In ethics, intention has been introduced as the core of every deed. The Prophet of Islam and his infallible successors have said that no worship will be accepted by God until it is done purely for God. Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, says, "If a person in a specific fasting like that of Ramadan abandons his intention, his fasting will be null." The important point here is that human beings have limitations of time for performing worships. But this is not the case for intention. In other words, with a pure intention, one can be present in all good events and benefit from their divine reward. It is narrated in history that in one of the battles of Imam Ali, peace upon him, a person came to the Imam and told him, "I wish my brother too participated in this battle, saw your victory and attained the reward of this battle in your companionship." The Imam asked him, "Was your brother's intention with us?" He answered, "Yes." The Imam continued, "Thus he has been with us and participated in this battle. Even those who will come in the future, if they share the same intention with us, they will be with us." Fasting, like other worships, should be with intention. It means that the individual should do it for the sake of God. Such a decision is enough and it doesn't need to utter it verbally. One can make the intention for each day of Ramadan in the dawn of each day, but it is better to make the intention for the whole month on the dawn of the first day. If the individual doubts if one day is the last day of Sha'ban or the first day of Ramadan, he's not obligated to fast it, but if he wants to fast it, he cannot make the intention for fasting of Ramadan. he can rather make the intention for recommended, not obligatory fasting. Then, if it becomes clear that the day was Ramadan, it will be accepted from him as the fasting of the first day of Ramadan, and he shouldn't compensate for it later on. If a sick person heals in the middle of the day of Ramadan, it is not obligatory for him to make the intention and fast that day. God says in Ayah 35 of Surah Ma'idah, O you who have faith, be wary of Allah and seek the means of recourse to Him, and wage jihad in His way, so that you may be felicitous. Means of recourse in this ayah has a broad meaning. Anything that causes proximity to God can be a means of recourse. Imam Ali, peace upon him, has said that after faith in God and His Messenger, the fasting of Ramadan is one of the means of recourse for proximity of God. According to the clear wordings of the Quran, intercession of the Divine Messengers, the Imams and righteous servants of God is also among the best means of recourse for proximity of God. Ayah 97 of Surah Yusuf reads that the brothers of Yusuf interceded with their father Yaqub to seek God's forgiveness for them. It reads, they said, Father, plead for forgiveness of our sins. Indeed, we have been erring. The Quran also reports of some faithful who asked the prophets to seek God's forgiveness for the sins that they had done. Ayah 64 of Surah Nisa, for instance, reads, and we did not send any apostle, but to be obeyed by Allah's leave. Had they, when they wronged themselves, come to you and pleaded to Allah for forgiveness, and the apostle had pleaded for forgiveness for them, they would have surely found Allah all clement, all merciful. Dear listeners, in the previous episode, you heard the first part of Dua, Iftitah, that is, opening supplication, which has been recommended to be recited in the nights of the blessed month of Ramadan. In the second part of this supplication, we take recourse to the best servants of God as means for forgiveness of our sins in the Divine Court. This part of the supplication reads, praise belongs to God who creates and is not created, gives sustenance and is not given sustenance, feeds and is not fed, causes the living to die and revives the dead, and He is the living who never dies. In His hand is every good thing, and He has power over all things. O God, bless Muhammad and the progeny of Muhammad, your servant, your messenger, your trusted, your select, your friend, your choicest among your creation, preserver of your secrets and promoter of your messages, with the highest, the best, the most beautiful, the most perfect, the purest, the most growing, the most fragrant, the cleanest, the loftiest, and the amplest greetings